That was the first time that Charlie and I have ever heard that there is no physical worship. Like that was such a great teaching. I mean, really eye-opening for us personally. When you were talking about Matthew 1 and his name, it sparked a question in me that I've really had a difficult time understanding. And it concerns progressive revelation. What is the content of their faith in the future? So Peter says in Acts 3 that, and his name through faith in his name, just like you talked about in Matthew 1. And then Paul talks about there's been a change. And in Romans 3, he says that we now have faith through his blood. How about in the ages to come, under that dispensation, is the content of their faith both in his name and in his blood? Or I was running a word search on through faith in, and I received the Acts 3 information and then Romans 3, but nothing for the ages to come. And I'm just wondering what exactly is the content of their faith in the future?
Well, the content of their faith in the future is that they're going to know the Lord the way we know him right now, as members of the body of Christ, and I know him as the one that accomplished, that made the accomplished redemption.
Okay.
You see, you remember how we talked about that under the, in the millennium, the law is the word that's going to go out, right? According to Isaiah 2, all right? And why is it the law that's going to be taught? Well, the nations are going to be born in that kingdom, right? They're going to have to learn who's sitting on the throne. Just like Israel, under the law, she was taught by the Levites, right? And they were, and it was to bring the nation to know who their Messiah was, right? And only a very few people recognized him as such then, okay? But Paul was the first one to proclaim him as the Redeemer in terms of the good, that the cross was actually good news, right? Because Peter preached the cross as bad news in Acts chapter 3. But when you get to his letters, it's all good news about the cross, isn't it? In 1 Peter chapter 1,
right.
Redeemed by the precious blood and all. You see, but Paul was the first one to make that revelation, like he says in Romans 3, right? That's twice there, all right? So that's the knowledge that ultimately all the redeemed are going to have, okay? And so that's the whole purpose of why the law is going to be taught in the millennium, to bring those nations again to seeing who is sitting on that throne, the Redeemer, that are all the sacrifices.
And if the law is going to be preached again in that day, will there be animal sacrifices to show?
That there are animal sacrifices. You see that in Ezekiel.
Okay.
In chapters 40 or 48, there's all kinds of that, sacrifices going on there.
So Ezekiel chapter what?
40 through 48.
48.
The last eight chapters of that book is all about what the temple is going to look like, what the priesthood is going to look like, what the sacrifices are going to look like, everything.
In the future.
Yeah, in the future. Right. This is all millennial. It's millennial worship.
Great. Thanks, Jordan. Thanks.
Where was that again, Jordan? Ezekiel what?
Chapters 40 to 48.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. It really just takes your breath away, doesn't it? I mean, in terms of like, you know, what, how unique we are is among the redeemed. You know what I mean?
For Israel in the millennium, Israel, will they worship the Father or the Son?
It's the worship of the Son.
Of the Son. So they are not yet worshiping the Spirit.
Well, they have the indwelling Spirit, will they fulfill the purpose? perfect execution of the law, okay?
Uh-huh.
In other words, they won't be able to be charged with one sin, okay?
Right.
Elizabeth, as well. But yet, they're going to be leading the nations in the worship of the Son. They're going to be teaching them through the sacrifices, honoring the Son. Ultimately, it's going to lead to who's sitting on that throne.
Okay.
Okay. Because in the millennium, the Son is the mediator universally between heaven and earth. Okay. He's the Jacob's ladder, the angels ascending and descending. And, he's going to be on a mediatorial throne. Okay.
Right.
And when all the enemies have been purged and all the redeemed have been made known, he gives up the mediatorial throne. His work is finished in terms of being the mediator, and the redeemed creation is perfectly joined to the Father at that point.
Hey, Jordan, how does 1 Corinthians 13:12 figure into all that?
Well, 1 Corinthians 13:12 is a different issue. It's talking about the revelation of the mystery. Okay, and as far as who the body of Christ is. Okay. We're not, that's a different issue considering what we were talking about in 1 Corinthians 15 when it talks about, what God's ultimate purpose is for the entire redeemed creation, right? That's 1 Corinthians 15. Not everything is the same subject, right?
Yeah, I seem to have gotten distracted here. Where'd 13 go? There it is. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So isn't that once we're in glory with him, there won't be any confusion or questions?
No, you got to take that verse in the context of where it's at. If you start in verse 8, he tells you what doesn't abide, and he tells you what remains. If you look at verse 8.
Charity never fails, but where there is prophecies, they shall fail. Where there is tongues, they shall cease. Where there is knowledge, it shall vanish away.
Okay, now when you look at these things, he's obviously not talking about the OT prophecies that are going to fail, right?
Right.
But he's talking about the gift of prophecy in chapter 12, isn't he?
Sure.
Okay, same thing with tongues. He's not going to say that you're going to be without a tongue, but it's the gift of tongues, the different languages, again, of chapter 12.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Chapter, and it talks about knowledge. He's not talking about just not knowing anything anymore. He's talking about the gift of knowledge in chapter 12 again.
Okay. All right.
Related to the gift of prophecy, because that's what you see in verse 9. He says, right now we know in part and we prophesy in part. So something is there in part. And what that something is, we have to discover, don't we? And we will. Okay. But he says then when that which is perfect or complete is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So he's looking to a time of completion of when this partial thing will no longer exist. Okay. And that's where the context of verse 12 is, because now in verse 12, he says presently, the time he's writing this letter, he says we see in a mirror dimly. Just seeing a vague outline, but then face to face. Now I only partly know, but then I shall know, even as I'm known. In other words, it's as clear as I see myself in a mirror, I will know this thing that is now only in part. Well, what was this thing that was only in part? He tells you in 2 Timothy 4, okay, his last letter. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. What does it say there? Somebody read it.
Say 16 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
All scripture is given by inspiration.
No, you're in chapter 3, one chapter more.
Oh.
Chapter 4, verses 16 and 17.
I got it. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray God that he may not, that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me by that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion.
What he only knew dimly in 1 Corinthians 13:12, he says, is now fully known here, right?
Right.
And he calls it the preaching, doesn't he?
I believe so.
Well, what preaching did Paul preach? How did he call his preaching? Romans chapter 16, verse 25. What preaching is he talking about?
Look it up.
Yeah, Romans 16, verse 25.
Yeah.
Don't let me hog it all, you guys.
Everybody. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much.
Yeah, just stay here for the one reading of this verse. Okay. Romans 16, yeah. Verse 25.
Now to him... Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began.
You see that? It's the preaching of the mystery that was only partially known in 1 Corinthians. That's why they had the gift of prophecy. That's why the miraculous gift of knowledge. It supplied answers concerning that revelation that was still yet unrevealed. Now when Paul says it's fully revealed, no more of those things.
And there's the uniqueness of Paul.
No. It's interesting how just it all follow. All you got to do is follow the verses, right?
That's right.
I mean,
thanks for this.
All right.
Bye, Lisa.
Amen. Bye, everybody.
All right.